Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. In this seemingly endless casino story, all of a sudden it feels just like a high-stakes World Poker Championship. Contestants wearing sunglasses, sitting across the table, holding their cards close to their chest, about to reveal their hands. Because just a few hours ago, Governor Deval Patrick might have let slip a little tell.
This is a big concession for me, because I don't think slots at tracks are the best solution. But I am very, very concerned that there is so much important business that's been stuck behind this impasse.
And the concession? Slots, of course. The latest news is that a completed bill featuring three casinos and two slot parlors may make it onto Patrick's desk. But will he sign it? Meanwhile, Senator John Kerry says he will pay $500,000 in Massachusetts taxes, even though his $7 million yacht is docked in tax-free Rhode Island. But with a truck-driving, barn-jacket-wearing junior senator stealing the limelight, does Kerry's mea culpa even come just too late? And by the way, what's in a name anyway? A lot, say students and faculty at the state colleges in Massachusetts that will now be allowed to call themselves universities. So a whole universe of news in our week in review today. Listeners, are you rooting for a deal on a gambling bill or just rooting for it to end already? Do you think lawmakers should be spending their time on more important matters? Did Senator Kerry make an honest mistake in not paying taxes on his yacht, or does it even matter where he chooses to moor it to begin with? What is your top story in the region this week? You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can always find us online at Facebook and on Twitter. We're at Radio Boston as well. Well, joining us now to talk about the news in review is Susan Tracy. She's president of the media consulting firm The Strategy Group and a former state representative. Susan Tracy, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thanks for having me.
And also just fresh down from Beacon Hill is Craig Sandler, owner and general manager of the Statehouse News Service. Craig Sandler, welcome back to you, too.
Oh, it's nice to be here in the relative quiet.
So let me ask you about the chaos over casinos that's going on Beacon Hill. What is the latest?
Well, I mean, it did occur to me as I walked out of the building that, if the Statehouse were a casino, and some say it is, it would definitely be the Circus Circus. And it's a cliche. I know it's overused. It may be trite, but it absolutely feels, in both branches, it feels like a circus in there. And I mean, not just the casino stuff, because that's sort of happening, out of sight. You see people shuttling in and out of the governor's office. But there's people there on quarry reform. There's people, don't forget, the right to repair maniacs on both sides are tearing around that place. People are fighting the wind sighting bill up to the very last moment. And in the midst of this, they're thrashing out the casino bill.
Well, it's because the last moment is like 8 hours away. It's midnight tonight, essentially, isn't it?
Well, it's midnight
tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay.
It's midnight Saturday. So, it's even a little bit, I think it might be a little crazier today because it actually isn't 8 hours. It's 32, mm-hmm. He said, reaching for his journalist's grab of math. 32 hours. But anyway, it's fast approaching, and there's a lot of important things in play. And casinos, only one of them, but it is, of course, the most important.
Okay, so on casinos, what we hear is the most recent thing is that people in the know are leaking that it may be the agreement that might end up being a finalized bill includes three casino resort-style casinos.
That's right.
And two slot parlors.
Yep.
At two of the four racetracks
right.
around Massachusetts.
Yep.
So here's Senator Stephen Panagiotakis a little earlier today trying to tamp down the increasing excitement on a potential casino outcome. Let's listen.
You have published the papers and articles and books. You have shaped the minds and cultivated the potential and the imagination of these young people and decades of graduates before them.
That is
you have earned this.
That is clearly not Senators.
Not the Pangea I know.
No. That governor. Is
Deval Patrick. So our little roulette wheel of sound must have misfired there. But my point is that Senator Pangea Takis basically was trying to say there's no agreement yet. We're still trying to knock things out here. But Susan Tracy, let me ask you. Last time you were on the show with doing our Week in Review, you said that getting some sort of agreement on slots especially was a needed win for House Speaker Robert DeLeo. It looks like he might get that.
Yeah, I mean, I said last time I was here that you're in a conference committee with three members from each branch of, you know, the House and the Senate, and the Speaker of the House is on the line saying he wants slots. There's no way you're going to get a bill out of a conference committee that doesn't allow him some kind of a win, and it's not surprising. But, I'll say again what I said the last times I've been here, you know, there's miles to go before we roll dice. there's a lot to happen between now and then, and it's not just what the governor will do, because he finally caved and said, okay, I'll do one slot. So if they do two, will he sign the bill? I also think you have a lot of procedural things between now and the end of the night tomorrow, and we have some pretty staunch anti-gaming members, and particularly in the Senate. So I'd look for some parliamentary maneuvers tomorrow to try to gum up the works and let the clock run out and try to prevent this from being taken up, and I'd keep my eye on that too.
So nothing even close to being finished, Craig Zantler.
No, and I don't know. I think that the odds are less than 50%. I think that they're probably close to 50%. I am a little surprised that they actually managed to get this far, but the fact is there are so many moving parts. The number of slot machines is very much in the air. This afternoon, shortly before we went on, the governor said they may send me two, and they're pretty adamant about sending two. I think that's DeLeo's reservation price. His real bottom line is two slot licenses, and Patrick is only going to count, and it's one. Among the, you know, you could probably rattle off 30 issues that need to be decided in those now 31 hours and, you know, 50 minutes. So, it's less than 50%.
And if the governor vetoes, you know, there's a question of whether there'd be two-thirds in both branches to actually override him. So
it's not even known whether this is going to come to him in a way that he can veto part of it or not. If it's technically a budget bill, he can. By the way, I don't even think it's going to go to him in one bill. It's very possible that they're going to send him more than one piece of legislation. That's the very latest. Exactly. And either one of those he could veto or veto part of it. We're just hinting now in this sort of exchange at the complexity of it. But I absolutely agree with Sue that DeLeo is really driving this process. I think, don't you feel like it's kind of his career? For whatever reason, I think this is the only thing he wants in his career.
He's really out there on this. It clearly matters to him. And I think it's one of those things that becomes even more important to you as people tell you how important it is to you. Yeah. You know, it's grown in its role in his speakership.
Well, and I mean, in the speaker's case in particular, two of the potential racetracks that may get these slots are in his district. And also, I mean, his father, as we know,
his father worked at the track.
So there's an emotional and political connection there. But let me ask you about Governor Patrick and where this puts him. Mm-hmm. So he said, okay, I will give you some wiggle room on slots a little bit. But if he does get a bill, on his desk that includes more than that one, does that actually put him in a bind? Because, you know, now he's in a position where he could get the casinos that he wanted, but also the slots that he doesn't want.
Yes, he's initially said he wouldn't do slots. Then he moved and said, and he did a mailing today to his base saying, you know, if they pass these pieces of legislation and do one slot, I'll support this legislation.
Yeah, the mailing had the subject line, jobs. In other words, he knows how to spin it.
An hour after that mailing went out, there was a notice that there was a compromise, and it was two slots. So I think that the governor's, you know, how many times does he move? I mean, he's kind of given himself a little wiggle room with the notion of, a batch of legislation passing being critical to his support for the bill. So he's got a little wiggle room. But, yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting political decision for him when he gets this on his desk, if he does.
Think that the best he can hope for at this point is a win and a loss. You know, it's really all about what happens on November 2nd. And I think that, if he signs something and we get casinos, I think by now the process has been so crazy and ugly and silly that he's really vulnerable to the charge that he's just part of this insane process on Beacon Hill in an anti-incumbent year. On the other hand, he will also be able, if he signs this bill, to say, I've been fighting for this for 4 years. The people of Massachusetts want it, and I got it done. And the process isn't always pretty, but guess what? I know how to run the government. So, but as I say, that's not a win-win. That's a win coupled with a big vulnerability.
Keep in mind, too, his base doesn't like this issue. So there's all kinds of intrigue.
That's a major
to this
wrinkle
one.
Except for
him.
The unions. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing how nuanced
I think the labor piece is a critical one to keep an eye on. Charlie Baker kind of threw that out this week, saying the governor's in the tank of labor. Obviously, this issue is a big labor issue. If he votes with it, Charlie Baker makes the case, see, it's this horrible bill, but you just caved for labor. If he votes against it, labor says, thanks, governor,
but
see
but
you
no
later.
Thanks.
I'd rather be campaigning against Patrick on the casino issue than be Patrick campaigning having signed it.
He finds himself in these situations quite often where it seems like he's been advocating for certain issues, and then they finally come up a while later, and suddenly it's not the best place for him to be, being the advocate. Right?
I agree. Don't forget, even during the 06 campaign, he campaigned for CORI reform, which looks like it's going to pass, criminal offender record information reform, making those records less available. That's going to pass. And in this particular year, I don't see that as a win.
Cape Wind is another one of those issues that he campaigned on that certainly had a body of people very much opposed to it.
Yep.
So it makes you kind of wonder, here's a guy who can't win even when he is winning.
I guess he can argue that he's not a good politician, and see, he really isn't part an insider.
Craig, before we take the break, I mean, you had mentioned, and we just touched on a couple of the other bills that are hanging in the balance, and we heard in the piece of tape earlier that Governor Patrick he himself is saying, I'm really frustrated that everything has come to a grinding halt because of casinos. So you said CORI reform might go through. Yeah. Anything else that looks like it's going to just make it under the wire here?
Well, yeah, I think we are going to pass a bill allowing local communities to site wind projects statewide, which is, you know, a big energy bill. It's not just about Cape Wind. It was a very contentious and complicated issue, and I think that will go through. There's a number of budget bills that include, you know, collective bargaining agreements for state employees. Those are going to go through. We could reform prescription monitoring in the state, which is a huge under the radar kind of issue. So that's a partial list.
So a lot going on, even though we're in the doldrums of summer here. Mm-hmm. That's Craig Sandler of the State House News Service, and I'm also joined by Susan Tracy. She's president of the Strategy Group and a former Massachusetts state representative. You can join us as well. What is your big story of the week? It looks like maybe, maybe not, we'll get casinos, but a lot of furious activity on Beacon Hill. How do you make it? How do you think of it? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. We'll be right back. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are discussing the news of the week in review, and what a week. We've got a lot of action on casinos. John Kerry, Senator John Kerry, saying, okay, I will pay taxes in Massachusetts even though I have a boat that's docked in Rhode Island, and much more. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. What is your big story of the week? I'm joined by Craig Sandler. He's the owner and general manager of the State House News Service, and by Susan Tracy. She is the president of the Strategy Group. It's a media consulting agency and a former Massachusetts state representative. We've got a comment online here at our website, wbur.org/Boston. It's from Stephen about casinos. And Stephen says, if the casino deal goes through, it will destroy local theaters. Casinos prohibit musicians and other performers from playing at smaller regional theaters. The consequence will be that local Massachusetts communities will no longer be able to draw artists and performers. So,
Is that a Deval Patrick constituency or a Charlie Baker constituency? I think the answer is clear. I think Sue's point is great. It's not. It's in so many ways not a winner for the people who thought that together we can meant something other than.
Even though it seems like
casinos.
The polling shows that over the entire state, there's a majority of people who support the idea of casinos.
I agree with that. But I think the race, I think the governor's race is still going to tighten. It's 6 points now.
And turnout's important, and your base is critical to that. You know, it just is.
Yep.
You got to have your base in a good place.
God, just, you know, I mean, everyone thinks the summer's going to go slow. It doesn't go slowly this year. And before you know it, we'll be in September and we'll be in the middle of the last leg of the governor's race. It's going
Five
by so
seconds.
Quickly.
It's amazing.
But on other political news, this one has to do, of course, with Senator John Kerry. Just to recap what happened with him, the Boston Herald decided to chase him down a little bit about a boat that he has that's docked in Rhode Island. It's a $7 million yacht. And by virtue of being in Rhode Island, that meant that Senator Kerry did not have to pay state sales and excise taxes here in Massachusetts. So here's Senator Kerry at the beginning of this week after the Herald first broke this story.
The boat's been in Newport most of the time and in Rhode Island, and I'm not going to get, hounded by a bunch of politics.
Well, even though he did get hounded by a bunch of politics.
Sure.
Susan Tracy, your reaction to Senator Kerry now saying, okay, I will pay $500,000 to the state of Massachusetts.
Well, he probably should have done it on that first day. But, I always felt like on this issue, it's less about the tax. I don't think anyone thinks that John Kerry wouldn't pay a tax that he owes. I think it's the symbolism of having a $7 million yacht, especially in a really bad economy. I think it's just a real turnoff to people. It feels very out of touch, and it just makes you angry when you see that boat. So, A, he should have just said, okay, I'll pay and done it and not made it a 4 or 5 day story. But I think the symbolism of the yacht was really what was at the core of people's anger.
Yeah, I mean, I love Brian McGorry of the Globe. One of the reasons I love him is that he's like Jason Veritek, the catcher for the Red Sox. He's very streaky, and he'll go through these runs where just every single day he's got something hysterical. And for him to point out that our Republican senator drives a pickup and our Democratic senator owns a yacht this week.
I actually like that, too.
It might have been the high point of the week. But no, I mean, it's really an amazing phenomenon. I think one of the reasons it will be seen as odious, and it could really stick, it could be long remembered.
Even though he's not up for re-election for several years.
Yeah, for four, right? Yeah.
I think he'll be okay in 4 years.
Yeah, you're right. But you can do you can certainly do Rappaport type ads, if anybody remembers those.
He lost, though, didn't he, with those
Well,
ads?
different year, though, very different year. And again, you know, there are certain issues that are harbinger issues. And my real point is that Kerry's defense, even today, even in all the defensiveness we've heard from him today, is, well, legally, I am not obligated to do it, which is completely open to question. But politically, oh, I know I must. Well, great. If that's at the top of your decision-making process, the whole thing, it's part of the whole thing about John Kerry. And the whole thing's been going on for a long time. You remember, you might have been in the chamber the year that he was on the podium and some wise guy introduced Bill Reinstein from Revere as Buster somebody. And
Cataldo, I believe it was.
Thank you. And John Kerry looked at Reinstein and said, Buster, sure, of course. Great to see you, Buster. It is complete nonsense. And I mean, I think that this just gets perceived as complete nonsense from John Kerry. I was always going to pay my taxes.
Okay, I got to ask you guys a question here, though, because one thing that this whole story raises for me is it that Senator Kerry is out of touch with his constituents in Massachusetts, or is it the problem the other way around, that we as voters are actually out of touch with the reality of the Senate of the United States? Because you could make the argument that Scott Brown is kind of the exception to the rule, because most people in the Senate are millionaires.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not exactly
all
a body of the people.
Well, first of all, Scott Brown has been there for a few months, so it's very hard to kind of know what the long term of Scott Brown is going to be and who he's going to be after time. I do think there is some part of being in elected office, especially at that level, where you do get out of touch. I think when you only run every 6 years, you're not as close to the voters as a House member would be. And I do think, you know, as someone who's been in the legislature, I do think you can get out of touch if you've been away. That said, I feel like the tax issue is somewhat unfair. Kerry will pay his taxes. But the yacht issue, I don't have one. I don't know about you.
I think it's both. I mean, people do understand the Senate and do understand that it's out of touch. And Kerry this week found a way to personify the Senate. However, That said, he doesn't run again for 4 years, and it's a really long time.
Well, on the other side of that bicameral legislature we have over there in Washington, earlier this week, the House voted to spend another $37 billion to fund the war in Afghanistan. But the vote was actually much narrower than it's been in previous years. And most notably, the entire Massachusetts delegation, save for Representative Stephen Lynch, actually voted against the funding. So I believe the last time that a defense appropriation bill was voted on, there was more support amongst our congressional delegation in terms of paying for this war. So do you see that there's a shift here in Massachusetts in terms of what our representatives are doing in the support for the funding of the war in Afghanistan?
Well, first, I don't think it is odd that a Democratic delegation like ours would grow weary with war funding. I mean, this war's been going on for a long time, so that's not a surprise. To me, the interesting piece of that vote was the role that the WikiLeaks played in giving people a platform to justify saying enough is already. Look at how we're spending this money. This is, you know, not going in the right direction. So I'm not surprised that our delegation would grow weary of war spending. It's a lot of money. It's $37 billion. Yeah. And I don't think it's a surprise that that's the direction we're headed in.
Your thoughts, Greg?
Well, as always, I think the parallels between Obama and Deval Patrick can be made very readily. Even when he wins, he loses. This is a constituency that he, is at the heart of whom he needs, and on this bill, on this issue, he seems to have really lost him. When you lost Massachusetts Democrats on an issue that you're supposedly winning, you got to be concerned, and maybe you have to be reflective and look at what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just got a couple minutes to go, and usually I only leave you a few seconds to give us your hubbub of the week, but I'm going to let you actually tell us what your stories are that didn't make it to this table, but you still think were worthy of a little bit of conversation. So, Susan Tracy, your hubbub of the week.
The story that I think got attention today and should get more attention, it's going to sound trivial compared to war spending, was that the 56 chairs, patio chairs on the Greenway that were out there, and 10 of them have been stolen in a month.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, this week we had a $10 million announcement of a public market going into that space. We've spent so much money. It's such an important public space. And if the people can't respect it and care about it, I'm actually hoping someone knows who did it or saw someone did it.
Like the ducklings.
Like the ducklings. I hope that we can create an atmosphere in that public space where it's public and people respect it.
If you can't have it be a community space, then, you know,
right.
Exactly. Craig Sandler, your hubbub of the week.
Well, I guess in keeping with the pace up there and my whole ooh these days, this is ripped from the headlines, but the kayak safety bill is in serious trouble.
No kidding.
Swamped and taking on water. Apparently one of the conferees just at the last minute filed an amendment to an agreed-on conference committee report that would require, yes, that life jackets be worn in kayaks, but not that they be, but stripped language saying they had to be worn at all times. They would not have to be worn at all times. That conference committee is now trying to thrash that issue out, so the kayak bill may be up the creek.
But there are constituents out there for whom this matters. They are doing the people's
right
business
that.
On this. Mine is also water-related, my hubbub. I just saw this cross a little earlier this afternoon that Chatham is closing South Beach after great white shark sightings. Mm-hmm. And so, obviously, this has been the summer of the shark here, it seems, in Massachusetts. But this got me thinking. It's also the 35th anniversary, I believe, of Jaws the movie coming out.
Damn.
And, of course, the book was written by Peter Benchley in 1974. He wrote the screenplay for Jaws as well. Has some New England ties there. He died in 2006, but the thing that I remembered was that before he died, he was very regretful about the effect that Jaws had on people's conception of sharks, that it like basically put this permanent fear of sharks into the minds of everyone on the planet. And he went on to be a champion shark conservationist to the point where there's even a Peter Benchley Shark Conservation Award now.
Who knew?
So, the great white sharks, they may be keeping you off the beach in Chatham, but they do deserve maybe to live, because there are sharks around the world. There's a lot of science saying that their numbers are endangered. So that is my hubbub of the week. Craig Sandler, owner and general manager of Statehouse News Service, thank you so much. We'll let you dash back up to the hills to keep us up to date on the latest of what's happening.
Thanks.
And Susan Tracy, president of the Strategy Group, a media consulting agency, and also a former Massachusetts state representative. Thank you so much again for being here.
Thanks.